You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
Well, it's Matt and George, but close enough. Mike is in Pittsburgh, we believe, on assignment. So Mike will be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with Mike and I, taking you all through the morning, talking more football, more baseball, maybe even some hockey tomorrow. Maybe we'll... I should have done 3 hours on hockey today. Could have drove Cardano nuts. Or maybe Scott Engel more crazy than anything else. Listen, hockey, you got only a month left in the regular season. Fantasy-wise, it's pretty much your fantasy playoffs. Could be starting as soon as Monday, if not certainly the week after that, if you're in a head-to-head league. So 844-843-6879. If you have any questions, baseball, football, hockey. And Matt says he loves basketball. He'll talk to you about basketball, too. Matt, we'll get back to football now. Back to these wide receivers that were hot and heavy this week. You know, I mentioned earlier that I was surprised that Terrell Pryor could only get a one-year deal, or settled for a one-year deal for whatever reason, wants to prove his value, which I thought he did nicely last year. Maybe there wasn't enough money to go around this year for whatever reason, even though the cap went up $10, $11 million. Alshon Jeffrey did the same thing. Granted, for $14 million, but still, one-year deal. What are your thoughts?
I have to think he's trying to rebuild his stock. I mean, I figured he was going to get more too. I mean, I was surprised. I do like him in Philadelphia, but does Jordan Matthews stay? Can Dorrell Green Beckham turn into a? I mean, he has the size, and he looks like a great end zone threat. So maybe with Jeffrey coming there, Nelson Aguilar is probably the worst receiver in football. So I think at some point they got to say goodbye to him.
Not even the worst on the team. The worst in football. And they signed Torrey Smith, too.
Oh, yeah. Torrey Smith, I saw some great thing. He dropped pretty much a quarter of the catchable passes that came his way. So, I mean, he's a good deep threat. I'm not really a Torrey Smith guy.
I'm not a Torrey Smith guy either. I think football-wise, it makes sense. You mentioned run the deep passes, clear out the safeties and all that sort of stuff. Let Matthews and... I guess Matthews do the stuff underneath. You got Jeffrey. You got Zach Ertz there. You know, I think what they're doing is, and I said this yesterday in Old School Fantasy, is telling Carson, no more excuses. Okay, you did year one. Great. You got your rookie season out of the way. You trailed off the second half. You know, you had your problems. Whatever they might be, long season, rookie, defense catching up to you, whatever. We're giving you weapons now. You know, you got Jeffrey. You got your top-notch wide receiver. No matter what anybody thinks of him, and I don't think he's a great receiver, but still, gives you that big target on the outside. You got Matthews who can do his thing in the middle. Zach Kurtz with the big target also over the middle. Torrey Smith running with deep routes. Your running game is okay. Matthews, Sproles, it's okay. I don't think it's great, but I don't think it's terrible either. So you got your options there. I think they're telling Wentz, okay, time to take that next step.
What I like what the Eagles are doing is they invested in Wentz last year. They made that move. So now they're putting the pieces in place. Hopefully, if Jordan Matthews stays, they use him in the right situation. I think he's kind of been misused. The running game, I do think they need to address because Ryan Matthews, he's just a guy that's never going to stay healthy, never live up to his expectations, should I say, in my opinion. Darren Sproles is great at what he does. That's fine. But Zach Ertz, as a tight end, he's a guy that I would like to have on my teams in 2017.
Yeah, we were joking yesterday. I think we were quite a few of us were high on him coming into the season. I know I was. I think I had him as my sixth tight end overall coming into last season. And then it took him a while to get going. Once he did, he was fantastic, especially in PPR leagues. And I'll be high on him again. I like him. Stay healthy, please. I think he'll do some damage there. I'm going to like the offense. You know,
I think they're doing, like you mentioned, they're doing the right thing. At least they made that investment last year. They went and got Wentz, and now they're putting the pieces in place. If Dorrell Green Beckham could ever emerge into anything, I don't know if that's possible. But, I mean, he's just...
be great.
He's just tantalizing as a red zone target, to say the least.
He is. The weapons are there now. They signed an offensive lineman, too. I don't remember offhand, so they're giving him some protection there. They're giving him the weapons all around. I'm not saying he's a fantasy starter for me. He's not. He won't be a top 12 quarterback for me. He'll be more around the 15 to 18 range. Quarterback is deep in the NFL. There are plenty of quarterbacks. Next thing I'm going to talk about, I understand it's hard to grade him right now because this team doesn't have a quarterback. unless you think Brian Hoyer is going to be the starter there. Pierre Garçon, going to San Fran.
I like Pierre Garçon. I think right now, I think Brian Hoyer is going to be the quarterback there. I mean, you could do worse. I mean, there's the argument, the Brian Hoyer signing versus Mike Glennon. Which one's better?
I'd rather have Glennon, but if you're saying which one signing is better, I think that's a lot of money to pay a guy who's never done much, what, threw 11 passes last season? So that's a lot of money to give Glennon. Hoyer, we know what he can do. He's sort of a guy, he can get you to a certain level, mm-hmm. and then after that he's gonna flatten out. Probably gets the bad rap because of the horrible playoff game he had a couple of years back, Houston and KC, where he pretty much, I don't know, was colorblind that day. that happens.
Yeah, but for San Francisco, the state that they're in now.
They're not going anywhere for a couple of years.
So I think for Pierre Garçon, I think he's going to get the ball. I mean,
no choice. Someone has to catch it.
There's no. They signed. Who's the guy they signed recently too? But he's going to be their main guy. Garçon went. He got paid.
Well, they re-signed Curley.
Yeah, Curley.
San Fran, number 2 overall pick. Do they have to take a quarterback?
For me, I don't think there's that great quarterback there. So. I don't like when teams just take a quarterback, and at that spot, I'm going best player. You need to build your franchise. I understand you need a quarterback. I just don't really see it this year, unless you believe that there is one. If you think Deshaun Watson, the kid from North Carolina, I personally wouldn't, but...
Well, here's the thing with San Fran. Let's say they do take best player available, which won't be a quarterback. I think you and I both agree on that. I think you and I both agree they're not getting Kirk Cousins. All right, so I don't think either one of those is happening. I think you need to, if you're John Lynch, if you're Kyle Shanahan, you sort of need to have a come-to-Jesus moment with yourself. We suck. We're going to suck this year. Probably going to have a top 3, top 5 at the very best pick next season. You play in a tough division. I think they play the NFC East this year, so you're playing a lot of good teams there. I don't know what team they play in the AFC. So, I mean, really, who's worse than you? Or fan, who's the worst team in San Fran?
Cleveland, maybe.
Are they?
I mean, maybe. That's what I'm saying.
Cleveland those are the two players. Jets?
I think the Jets are horrible. Yeah, I thought they were going to be terrible going into the season. And
I think the Jets are horrible, too. I think they're up there as this. I don't see any team in the... You mentioned Cleveland. I think they could end up being bad, but I don't think Cleveland's going to be terrible.
Yeah, but I don't think Cody Kessler is. I don't know.
Please tell me they get another quarterback. Please. Nobody in the NFC East. The Bears could be bad, but I don't think they'll be terrible. That's really it. Rams. I guess the Rams could still be bad.
So you're going with the trade to number 2? I mean, that makes sense to me.
No, what I was saying is, I think they're okay doing what you said. BPA, go best player available, take whatever, pass rusher, whatever it is, doesn't matter. And then wait till next year when the quarterback class is better, and what's the worst case scenario? Your 3rd overall?
Yeah, but also next year, if you believe that they have, if Kirk Cousins wants to go to San Francisco, couldn't he make that happen?
He can make that happen too.
So.
I just find it interesting. Cousin can say all he wants. I think the new thing was he'll never sign a long term as long as Bruce Allen's GM there. I guess he just feels disrespected. We've heard this before. But if they show you the money, guess where he's signing?
Yeah.
He has another big year this year.
Pretty quick.
Right. They're from $75 million guaranteed next year. He's signing at Washington. I think it's strange what's going on in Washington, why they won't sign him. We've seen guys certainly sign the big deals for doing far less. I don't think Cousins is great. I know. I don't see him ever becoming in the Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady class. No. But NFL-wise, he's better than average.
Well, I think they're in a really good spot, Chris. If there's a team that has that number 2 player on their board that they really want, I don't see why you wouldn't move down unless you're really in love with somebody, but I don't see it this year.
I agree.
So I think they're in a good spot. I think the Jets are a team that needs to be looking to possibly move down as well. I mean, I'm not saying move far down, but...
Well, the Jets have said that.
Yeah, they've got to be entertaining offers, and...
I think if you're San Fran, right now, you're praying Cleveland takes that pass rusher, takes Miles Garrett. Because then, any team that wants a quarterback, now has to come to you. And maybe you'll be able to, I don't know about a king's ransom, but maybe you'll be able to get a good, and San Fran, let's face it, they need more than just a quarterback.
Yeah, no.
So I think getting multiple picks would be fantastic for them.
What the San Fran did that I liked, I do like the hiring of Shanahan. I think that was a very good move. And you have to, like you said, they have the second pick. I don't see how Cleveland is, that number one pick is not getting traded. If anything gets traded, it's the 12. So they have the number one pick. Take that war daddy, like you were saying before. Go that route. And then it's going to get interesting. The draft this year should be really, really fun. Should be a lot of wheeling and dealing.
It's always fun.
No, it's always fun. It's aggravating for me because, like I said, I scream every year at the TV, draft offensive players. It's an offensive league. I know the Bills' defense has gotten worse the last 2 years, and they have many holes on defense. But we took Tyrod Taylor back. I'm happy because of the alternatives. So we have Tyrod. He can throw the deep ball. Sammy Watkins, in my opinion, if healthy and can stay on the field for 16 games, is a phenomenal wide receiver. Put somebody else on the other side. Draft a tight end that has a high ceiling in like an Ingram, maybe a couple of rounds later. I think there's many possibilities to do that. The Bills last year took two guys with their first two picks, Shaq Lawson and Reggie Ragland. And Ragland blew out his knee. He missed the whole year. Lawson, when they drafted him, they knew there was something with the shoulder. He was probably going to have a surgery. So,
listen, I got Jerry Jones to deal with, all right? Who has me talked out of taking guys like Johnny Manziel and stuff like this. And, I wasn't thrilled about Dallas taking Jalen Smith last year in the second round. In my mind, that's a luxury pick for a good team. Dallas is coming up a 4-12 year. Don't have that luxury of taking someone like that, hoping that nerve regenerates, which it tell you who you believe it is or it isn't, but he should play this year. But I get it with the draft. Draft is fun. I enjoy draft weekend as well. But Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it's an event, and certainly we'll be here covering it for everybody going pick by pick there. So the weather will be warmer. I won't be getting. We're being worried about 20 inches of snow, whatever's coming our way on Monday and Tuesday.
Well, the NFL has done a wonderful job of marketing that. It's coming to like a 4-day span, like the Thursday night.
I forget who I was told. What? There's only one thing I can think of as far as all year long that the NFL doesn't do well. I mean, the draft, they market that. The schedule, we're all looking forward to a schedule now. It's just a joke to me that everybody, ESPN have a show on the schedule. Like, I can't just look online and see who's playing, but they'll have a show on it. And they do this fantastic. You think, look at ESPN. They have NFL Live and NFL Insiders on every day. And I watch it because it's football. You want to hear the news. It's amazing what they do. The only thing they don't do well is the trading deadline. That's the only thing where baseball, hockey, basketball beat them on.
Yeah, that they do need to improve on. It is pretty bad. The biggest trade the last couple of years was the Colts when they traded for the bust of a running back.
Trent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. Football, it's always going to be hard to work the trade deadline because they got to fit the system. You got to fit the salary cap. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to show up in week 8, not know the system, and go, hey, I'm here, going to be great. It's just unless you've played in that system before, played for that coach, I get it why trading in football doesn't work. Not during the season anyway. But it's the only thing when you think of the NFL that they don't do well. Everything else, I mean, it is 12 months a year, 365. We talk about it all the time. Really, I guess June could be a dead month after OTAs, before training camp.
Yeah, but I mean, pretty much everybody starts gearing up for fantasy. You know, I start getting into it. I find myself more and more earlier each year, and I mean, between baseball starting that early, now I'm starting football early, so I got my hands full.
Yeah, listen. To me, my slow time's about coming to an end. You know, after football is hell for us. But once that ends, you know, January, February, slow. March, now things heat up again. We're getting ready for baseball, and I'm certainly looking forward to it. And to help you get ready for baseball, a segue. Look at that. The Roto Experts exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package for 2017 is here. Stay ahead of the competition with in-depth articles and insights from our award-winning analysts. Prepare for your draft with our new and improved cheat sheet generator, which I use, by the way. Get access to fully sortable projections and over 800 player profiles at the promo code FREERADIO at checkout for a special discount on the RotoExperts.com exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package. Matt and George back after this. Good morning and welcome back. Roto Experts Weekend Morning Edition. We got Matt singing along to a nice little ditty here, whatever this thing is. All right, Matt. Jared Cook decided not to sign with Green Bay. Probably a mistake.
I think it's definitely a mistake. And I really like Martellus Bennett in Green Bay. I think
Bennett's living the good life here.
Yeah,
Brady to Rodgers.
It's a fantastic move for them. Like you said, with Aaron Rodgers there, it's probably going to be another Aaron Rodgers in the NFC Championship. I mean, Jared Cook, I don't know what he was thinking. If they're saying, if this is true that they offered him more money and he turned that down, I just hope it's not Jared. I hope it's not Jared Cook to the Bills. That's what I hope it's not.
I mean, you're in a good situation. You had a good, had the big catch versus Dallas. Pretty much won the game there. You had a decent season. Aaron Rodgers. Now, if you did turn that down, all right, that's neither here nor there. Martellus Bennett, top 10 tight end.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a great situation. Bennett's a good tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was good anyway. Well. His problem. It does make you wonder why he keeps bouncing around for so many teams. You think about it now. It's what, Dallas, Giants, Chicago, New England, Green Bay. No one seems to be able to deal with him for any length of time, but he can play the game. So it gives Aaron Rodgers another target to throw to. You know, we were discussing, we haven't talked about Brandon Marshall, we might have talked about it on Wednesday, but we haven't talked about it on this show, but people were just discussing the best receiving crew in the NFL. Giants, Beckham, Marshall, Shepard. Is Green Bay better now, though, especially when you include Bennett? Ellison, Cobb, Adams, Bennett?
What I will give Green Bay the advantages is the fact that they have Aaron Rodgers. So I think that he makes that receiver core better. Having Rodgers over Eli, I was never really a big Eli guy. I am a big fan of the Brandon Marshall move. I know, I think it's a place he wanted to be. And
he took 2 years, $11 million. He wanted to be there.
And he's in the, he knows the sunset's coming down. I think he had high expectations coming into the season. Everything went awry for him. So I expect, at least for 1 year, he's really going to put up some numbers. And he's a guy that I will be targeting.
Me too. I think we discussed this on like the day before you, maybe Tuesday.
Yeah, we mentioned it on Thursday too. We would talk. I think Scott was the one guy who really
was. Scott's
wasn't.
Not high. He's got
number three or something.
Scott had 30 overall, so mid three. I have in the 18 to 22 range, low end two, which might come higher for me. I believe. You said it. I think it'll be good for Marshall. Beckham's going to get still most of the attention. It's going to leave him one-on-one with the second cornerback.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy that, like I said, he's 1 year removed from a fantastic season.
Unless he had Bryce Petty, all this other garbage.
Yeah, the Jets were a total dumpster fire. And I'm not going to hold that against him. He had, I think he made a bet with Antonio Brown.
I was going to bring that up.
Last season.
Stop Porsche going to Brown. I mean, he got crushed on that bet.
It was crazy for him to make. I don't care how good you are. It was pretty crazy to make that
bet. The funny thing is, if you have, I don't follow Antonio Brown or Marshall on Twitter, but someone tweeted it out where Brown actually tweeted to, I guess Marshall posted his signed contract with the Giants on Twitter, so Brown tweeted back, well, now you can send me that Porsche. Antonio Brown hasn't forgotten. Hey, you made the bet. Live up to it there.
Well, what about with the Packers now? I mean, is Eddie Lacy coming back? Is that the story?
He's visiting, Seattle now, and then was it Minnesota, and then Green Bay, the next three trips? Which, not that that means anything. He could sign with any one of those.
Seattle, for Eddie Lacy, I think, is perfect. If you believe in the CJ ProSize, I think that's the perfect complementary system there.
I think with Seattle, though, I don't think they'll sign him before he leaves because I think they want Latavius Murray. Mm-hmm. I think they're willing to wait to see if they can get him. I think that's their number one. And listen, that makes sense. He's maybe the number one free agent running back out there. So I think that makes sense. I do think Lacy going there could make sense. If you're the coach, you're Pete Carroll, you're any coach for that matter, you comfortable with Lacy, who may be eating himself out of the league?
Honestly, I'm not. That's been my problem with him for fantasy, is I just don't trust him. I know, like, we had the whole thing last year, how he was supposedly coming into camp, and lost all this weight. And then I started seeing some pitches, and he got pretty big pretty fast.
He wasn't losing any weight.
Yeah. So I was like, what happened?
No, I'm with you. I got to worry, too. I'm curious to see where he ends up. Listen, any running back, I'm curious.
But the fact that if he's used at the goal line and can, you know, just be the touchdown guy, that's interesting. I mean, Eddie Lacy, you just can't write him off as much as I want to. You just can't.
No, and I agree. All right, Adrian Peterson.
I hate to say it. I hope he's good this year. I don't know. I don't know where he's going to go. Somebody will give him a chance. I just don't see it. I think maybe it's been, you know, I think the sun might have set.
I haven't heard anything. I'm just throwing stuff out there. Adrian Peterson signs with Green Bay. Lacy signs with Seattle. Which one you want, fantasy-wise?
I might want Eddie Lacy just for the touchdowns. I mean, I think Peterson, I love Peterson. I love him. You know, it's not a choice I really want to make, but it might be Eddie Lacy.
I'd probably go AP only because, I don't want to deal with ProSize. I don't want to deal with if Thomas Rawls is there, too. Nobody else in Green Bay.
No, that's true, but maybe you're right on that one. I mean, I think if Lacy goes there, I don't know what's going to happen with Rawls. I do like ProSize, though.
I do like ProSize.
I am, especially in the PPR format. He's a guy you have to kind of be excited for coming in this year. And I think what Pete Carroll has shown us is with the big back, he will get the touchdowns in Seattle.
I agree. I think that's going to be an interesting. I think that's going to be an interesting division next year. Seattle, Arizona, see if Arizona can bounce back as well. All right, before break, I took about another wide receiver. We mentioned him earlier in the show. We actually didn't talk about him. Goes to Tampa Bay, DeSean Jackson.
See, I really like DeSean Jackson. I think he's in a best ball format. He's a perfect player. He's a guy that's, you know, he's going to have those weeks where he's going to score you a ton of points. He could win you a week. He's going to have some weeks where he just disappears. But I like him for the situation. I mentioned the other day, I'm not saying I would do it, but I think it's a conversation. After Antonio Brown, is for you, is Odell Beckham clearing away the number two receiver?
I wouldn't say clearing away.
But I think in that argument has to be Evans. I mean, Julio Jones has to always be involved there too. But I don't think there's that clear cut number two.
There's the constant toe injuries and stuff to Julio Jones, that scare you away enough to take Odell Beckham. And what about Evans? How high are you on PPR league? We'll say PPR for the sake of all of the talks. It's PPR.
I'm very high on Mike Evans. I mean, 2 years ago, he scored, what, 3 touchdowns? Going into last year, I thought 10 was a lock. It was just one of those things that happened. And last year, the wide receivers, I mean, who was on the other side? Adam Humphries was the other.
Jackson went down.
Yeah,
Humphries.
I mean, Jackson was done.
Thank God for Cameron Brate.
Yeah, Cameron Brate was he stepped up nice as the tight end. So just the fact that, like you're saying, you're getting DeSean Jackson, who people are worried about him taking away a ton of receptions. I heard the other day when we were talking. I really ain't buying that. He's not
buying.
He's
that
not a volume guy. He's not a volume guy.
He's a boom and bust guy.
Yeah, and
great for the offense.
I mean, it's going to be real interesting in fantasy drafts this year. You definitely want a top 7 pick, in my opinion. I mean, AJ Green's another guy who's great, but I'm going with those 4 first.
Beckham, Jones, Brown, Evans.
And yeah, that's going to be my 4. And I can make a case. I mean, honestly, Odell Beckham is phenomenal. If maybe this season he goes in there and he's totally focused and everything, and he could be the best receiver in football. I could even see if he surpassed Antonio Brown. That's how good his talent is. I'm not worried about that. But I'm looking at the situation. I'm looking at the offenses. And I think that Brandon Marshall is more of a threat to Odell Beckham than DeSean Jackson is to Mike Evans.
I'd probably go with you there. I think Brandon Marshall, I don't think Brandon Marshall's done. You know, I discuss it. I think he's, not fine. He's up there in age, but one bad year with bad quarterbacks doesn't not enough to scare me away. And I think you had a point there. I think my only worry about the Giants is you have two type A's. And Beckham's actually, I don't know what you describe him as. He's a nutcase. And Brandon Marshall, you know, he caused some locker room problems last year as well. He could say all the right things. How's he going to feel when Eli is going to keep looking Beckham's way? Especially if that offensive line is still a sieve. He's not going to have a lot of time to look for a secondary wide receiver.
Well, I think that's going to be the point this year, too. I don't think, I mean, Eli, look, if I got Odell Beckham, I'm gonna target him heavily. But now he has somebody else. And maybe Brandon Marshall this season is at that point in his career. I mean, he wants the championship. That's why he's playing for the Giants, like I said. The year before, the Giants last year in free agency, what they did with the defense turned out phenomenal. Now they're bringing a guy like Marshall. So maybe Marshall's at the point where he's like, maybe he could, it seems a little bit maybe of a stretch, but maybe he takes that, you know, father figure to Odell Beckham. I'm not saying that's going to happen. But, you know, maybe he's at that point. You know, at some point, you know your days are numbered. You want that ring. And the Giants, to me, in the NFC, have to be considered one of the favorites going in.
Giants' best team in the NFC East right now?
I think so.
I think so as well. I would agree with you there. I guess what? Giants, Packers, Seattle.
Seattle, if they can get some line help, I mean, that's what killed them.
Easier said than done. Yeah. They chose that.
They chose it, and it's like interesting how when you had that's the thing. Like they had Russell, they had Wilson, and once you got expensive, all the linemen went, and you know then you're running for your life.
Also, everybody's trying to, Dak Prescott, the Cowboys, trying to say the same thing. David says Romo's still on the roster. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to get that benefit. Maybe not until 19 if they take the June 1st cut. We'll see how that works out here. Did you know the clocks go back tonight?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Ahead.
We're going to lose one, but that means longer days, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah, I'm not going to mean warmer days, too, eventually here. I didn't know about that until I tweet or something like
that. Well, this winter, really, I don't think it's been that bad at all. It's been pretty...
No, it really hasn't.
It's been pretty nice. Maybe Monday, Tuesday, we get nailed, but...
Listen, if that's the last of it, I mean, it's brutally cold today. Mm-hmm. Right now, I think it's up to a balmy 17 degrees. And listen, that's Fahrenheit, boys and girls. That's not Celsius. So it's a little chilly. I'm not looking forward to walking to the car after the show, so it's a little chilly. But yes, my little PSA for today, the clocks go ahead tonight, don't forget, because then you might miss our show tomorrow morning.
That's right.
So, you know, and it's all about me. and we won't miss you, though. We'll be back after this. Matt and George, we're back, Roto Experts, in the morning, the weekend edition. We're here until 10 a.m. for you today. We'll be here back 7 to 10 tomorrow as well. Mike Blewett should return here from his assignment. I believe Mike's in the Pittsburgh area. I believe he was going to check out Heinz Field. Going to go take the tour.
Yeah, I would do that. He's a big Steeler fan.
He's a Steeler guy.
I do want to get to Pittsburgh. I don't know if it's going to be this summer. If I get the opportunity, I would love to see that ballpark. And
I heard it's one of the best in the majors.
Yeah, it looks like they do a great job. They have the bridge that they closed down. You can walk over. And I've never been to Pittsburgh, but I had a Primanti's Brothers sandwich. They opened, they had one in Fort Lauderdale. I had that years ago.
I'm hungry. You know,
it was one of the best sandwiches I've ever had.
We're at Rockin' Riley's here in Midtown, and you know they're serving breakfast right now. I'm seeing, I can't think of those, what those things are called.
Croissants.
That's the word. I'm not French. What do I know? There's bacon going out there. We got some tater tots and... Oh, it's not fair. I think.
I'm getting a sausage, egg, and cheese. Double sausage.
I'm a bacon, egg, and cheese. I'm not a sausage guy.
No, I like the bacon too.
I drive my wife crazy. I'm very very picky. I drive everybody crazy. Listen, I live with five women. I'm allowed to drive them all nuts. And we were saying before, Matt's wife's come. Matt, yeah, hello. Matt's wife comes home tomorrow. My wife is working tonight, so a little freedom. Little freedom's good.
Yeah, no, it's fun. I mean, I've been married over 14 years now, so, you know.
My condolences.
Yeah, I'll be 44 in 2 months, so it's not like I'm, you know.
I got you beat on
the town red every night.
No, those days are yeah. Those days are done. It was my 16th wedding anniversary earlier this month, about 9 days ago. I can't forget my wedding anniversary because it's 3-2-1. I managed one. Do you know who Jim Day is?
Jim Day. The name sounds very familiar.
He's a podcaster guy in the industry.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a Saturday night. One night I'm supposed to be I'm doing a show with him, and I'm on before the show. You know, Jim and I are talking, and same thing about you and I. He goes, you know, so how long have you been married for? I'm like, I've been married for. Oh no, I realized I had forgotten the date. You know, it was March 5th or something like that. No, my anniversary is March 2nd. And I said, Jim, just hold on a second. I was never so afraid as walking into that kitchen to say, hi, honey, happy anniversary. And you see, I see her doing the math. She forgot to.
Yeah, after a while, you know, after a few years, it's.
It ended up being she was pregnant with our second daughter.
Oh, right.
Her mother had just gone away, so it was a busy time for us. I think we just went to the house a year, yeah. You know, so it was. But I was never so afraid because it's just you can't win that. There's no excuse. I forgot. I forgot.
Yeah, mine's kind of easy. Mine's October 4th, so 10-4.
10-4, right? You got the another abbreviation there. All right. We talked earlier, but we really didn't go into it. Kenny Britt signed with Cleveland. I would have rather had Pryor if I was Cleveland. I think they sort of messed up that situation. But, hey, doesn't matter anymore. Kenny Britt, we don't know who the quarterback will be. I don't think it's going to be Kessler. I really hope not. So I know, once again, it's hard to judge here. Britt, where are you thinking fantasy-wise? Did pretty good with a mess in L.A.
Yeah, no, he has flashed talent. Where am I going to put him now? Like I just said, without having the quarterback, is he a low-end number two, high-end three? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. So the reason I don't want to get... He's going to get the ball.
How about this? Let's be a little fairer to you. You're right. That's tough. Where is he if Garoppolo's the quarterback?
If Garoppolo's the quarterback, he's definitely a number two with upside, in my opinion.
What if it's someone like, it won't be Romo, Jay Cutler type veteran?
I mean, as much as we all crap on Jay Cutler, you know, receivers do pretty well when he's quarterback.
He can throw the ball.
Smoke and Jay will... He will wing it. If it's Cutler, yeah, I think he's a number two. I think he's he's not that old. Like we were talking the other day, he's not that old. He is a talented player. He's just been in.
He gets a bad rap because of his expressions, you know, and stuff like that. And he can be a little hard headedness.
I think at sometimes too, players at certain points in their career finally. Mature, I'll say. I'm not sure, but he's somebody. If they have a decent quarterback, that I will like. I don't understand why they gave him 4 years, 32 when they could have had Pryor. But
I think you know, Gary Davenport. He was a friend of the show. Mm-hmm. We've had him on many times. IDP guy for us during the football season. A Browns fan. Sorry, Gary. He's been lighting Cleveland up. Not very happy about what he brought up. A good point. If you're willing to eat the $16 million on Osweiler, why isn't Terrell Pryor still on this team? Listen, just franchise him then.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't he on the team?
I thought for sure he was staying. I mean, you don't hear people say, I want to stay in Cleveland. That's not a line you hear. I mean, they were able to do that trade for multiple reasons. They had the cap space, and they need to hit that minimum. Also, there's a minimum cap they had to hit. So that helped them out. I mean, they got a number two draft pick as well. I mean, Osweiler, there was reports that other teams are checking in on him. And that just shows you how bad the NFL quarterback market is.
Listen, I think as far as Osweiler is concerned, yes, Cleveland could retrade him. They'd have to convert some of that contract to a bonus, pay it, and then move it on from there. But would it shock me if you're going to tell me at the NFL draft they get a fourth rounder for him? You know, doing just what I said, that they ate some of the contract? No.
Yeah, no, I really think their new management, I think they went the right way, and I think we're going to see, like, as you were mentioning before, too, we're going to see a new dawn in football in how things are worked out.
I agree with you.
And I think that's good. I think that's good for the game. I mean, you want smart people in high situations.
Do you believe in Crowell?
Who?
Isaiah Crowell?
I do like him. I mean, I like him. I think he's a good back. And I don't see any reason why not to really like him. I mean, running back situation, he's done a fine job. I like the fact, I really like, as I mentioned earlier, I like the coach. Hugh Jackson, you know, he seems to like him. So I think that's a perfect system for him. I mean, if Coleman steps up this season, once again, it all goes back to the quarterback. But, you know, that was their first-round pick last year.
Listen, Cleveland has some talented players. You know, you got Jamie Collins on defense. They picked him up. I'm not saying they're a playoff team. But I don't think this is a 1-15 team. But you mentioned it. If it's Cody Kessler, then maybe it is. You need the quarterback there. And that, listen, we know that. NFL's a quarterback league. You have one, you compete. You don't.
Yeah, who's the other one they got? Kevin Hogan?
I mean, right. You should go back to Brian Sipe right about now. So, yeah. All right. So, I'm a Crowell believer, too. I have a running back, too, for me there. Gary Barnard, Jamal. I said, I'm okay with Cleveland. Just get the quarterback, please, and maybe we can stop making fun of you for a couple of years. All right. We talked about him briefly before. Latavius Murray. Where's he going?
Murray, I'm really not sure. I really don't know where he's going to go. I think he's pretty much he's in a nice position. You know, it's nice to pick your spots and kind of see where you want to go. It's the Raiders with the way they handled the running back situation this year was like a disaster for fantasy purposes. I mean, I didn't like it, and kind of the reason I kind of stayed away from Murray this year because there was the other two guys there, and I was kind of worried about that. So for me, that worked out. But I do like the Raiders team. It's a shame, you know. So where's Murray going? Honestly, I couldn't give you an answer.
Yeah, I thought Bennett would end up with the Raiders. So I was surprised he didn't go there. Murray, I think his days of Oakland or Las Vegas, whatever they end up becoming, are done. I think Murray is going to end up with one of the NFC North teams, Green Bay or Minnesota. I think both teams would like to have a starting back. And I think Murray sort of fits that. And so I think sort of fits their mold. I guess if you were to talk about fantasy-wise, until Minnesota helps that or gets help on that offensive line, I'm not sure it matters.
Yeah, Minnesota would not be the ideal place.
Not right now, no.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a tough situation there. I mean, I was never a big Teddy Bridgewater guy.
Same thing.
It's a shame, though, the injury that he suffered.
I'd be career-ending this
thing. I mean, you got guys like Diggs, who does have a very high upside. And even Adam Thielen.
Thielen
is a nice guy to be looking at. This, I mean, as bad as their line is, and it's Bradford, he got the ball. And, you know, if hopefully they can improve that line somehow.
Yeah, Thielen was funny. He actually made my season last year. We did a show here. I think on the week 16, the week that Thielen went off, and I forget who I was doing. It was with Mike Blewett, and I think it might have been Corey Parks, might have been the fantasy exec, but I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, we were picking players that we were going to high on that, and I was just going contrary, and I was playing up Thielen. Listen, I was just trying to be a pain in the neck. All right, I had no idea, and he went off that week, so it made me look like a genius. It was fantastic. But it was so Thielen became one of my favorite players. I'll draft him every league now next year. But that team has all sorts of issues there. I do like Thielen's upside. Diggs, solid. Rudolph's a good tight end, and Bradford does use his tight end, as we saw. Yeah. But still, I think they're another team that needs that number one wide receiver. Treadwell, I don't know what happened there last year. Didn't work out.
Yeah, the Treadwell did not work out. Cordell Patterson will be moving on. He's a great returner, not a great receiver, but he was good in the return game.
Wouldn't shock me if he ends up with Dallas.
Yeah, no, I think actually that's a good fit for him, I think.
Dallas has no return. Hasn't had one for years.
That aspect of the game. You got the running game down pat. I mean, Elliott was phenomenal. And he did kill me, though, that game against the Steelers. I was just like, run it out, just tackle him. I had that feeling. That cost
did
me.
You? I showed it to Blewett. Not to rub. I'm not a rub it in guy. I'm not, that's not what I did. But there was a thing on Facebook about a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Oh, if you haven't seen this, I got to send this to you. This thing was hilarious. I mean, really, really funny about him flipping out over that game. How you know it was won, that was lost, and it was funny stuff. Yeah, that was a good day for me.
Yeah, I wasn't too happy that day. It was just all because of that run.
That was a good day. Fake spike touchdown. I don't need this garbage. But probably one of the highlights of the Cowboys season, I guess. All right, so listen, we'll be back. We're going to talk some more baseball here with Matt Modica. We'll be back talking baseball with Matt after this. Welcome back. George Kurtz, Matt Modica here for you. Roto Experts Weekend Morning Edition. Looking through my Facebook, looking at pictures of me, and I don't know where these pictures are from. Always scary. I'm looking for that Pittsburgh guy I was talking to you about. Actually, I think that's my... that's my man room. Oh, it's just taken from a different angle. Okay. No one cares. But, so, yeah. Anyway, talk a little bit about baseball. You right? Let's talk about two players you just brought up to me. Arizona Diamondbacks. Some people think they could be a sneaky team this season, but they have some. Anyway, you look at it, they have some questions in the rotation. Zach Greinke had a little trouble with the fastball velocity. You said it. I agree. I'm not all that worried with a veteran pitcher in March 11th. Not all that going to concern me. But you're drafting. You're looking for him. You need value.
He was a guy that I was actually targeting. I'm definitely going to monitor his next two starts. We got 2 weeks till the big drafts all start. It's, as he said in his own words, it's not ideal, but he did mention he started his throwing program a little later this season. He's a veteran. He's a cerebral guy. So he's somebody I have to watch. And maybe it opens up, maybe the velocity does get back up, and it opens up a buying opportunity because people start shying away. Oh, you know, it's... it's Chase Field. I don't want to deal with that. You know, so it's not like the end of the world. I mean, I'm concerned, yes, but don't write him off.
I agree. I don't think I'll take him in any of the mocks. He's going a little bit too early for me, but there is some upside there. I do worry. You know, he's getting up there in age. Maybe it's not Chavez Ravine anymore. It's whatever they call this thing. Used to be the Bob. Is it Chase? I don't know. Arizona ballpark. Ball flies out of there. Not the greatest pitcher's ballpark on the planet. I do wonder if that's all catching up to him somewhat. But that being said, I wouldn't mind him on my team. But SP, low-end SP2?
I would kind of like him as a 3. He's a low-end 2. I was, like I said, up until that second outing when the velo was down again, that has concerned me. So if by, say, start 4 of spring, it's back up there, then I think I'm fine. He's a guy I like. Like I said, he's not a guy you're looking to be hitting 95. He does need to have some separation, though, and you just don't ever want to see 88.5.
No, that's not. Well, that's a veteran pitcher. Sometimes they do. They work it out as time goes on. So maybe, well, once again, he figures it out. Okay, the guy who got traded to Arizona for Gene Segura. Tywan Walker. Blew him away yesterday, or the day before that.
Yeah, he's making some heads turn right now. They basically, last year, a lot of people, and I kind of agree, he did have the foot issue. He was not good at all. So, I mean, you have to take that into consideration. This is a guy who is a talented pitcher. As you mentioned, not the most ideal ballpark, but he's in the National League now. I think the Arizona rotation does have upside. I mean, Shelby Miller is not going to be as bad as he was last year. I don't care what anybody says. Is he a great pitcher? I don't think so.
Not going out on a limb there, by the way.
But I think he could be a good pitcher. I think he could be good. I'm not going to pay to see it, but it's somebody that I will monitor. I will, you know, keep my eye on Shelby Miller. But the guy that I'll really be watching is Robbie Ray. If Robbie Ray could make some corrections with his command and his location, you know, if he can locate, if he can, you know, make the correction with command, if he can locate, he really has a chance to make that next step. Not a guy that, I'm banking on doing that, you know, he could be dangerous with that whip. You have to be careful there. But he's a guy that's going later on in drafts that you should, at that point, you know, he's worth an opportunity. If it's between him or Michael Pineda, with the kind of going similar, I'm taking Robbie Ray.
I don't mind that. Pineda, I'm a Yankee fan. The guy has the stuff, just can't put it together on any kind of consistent basis whatsoever. It's frustrating, especially a guy who strikes out a ton of people.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, is he just a two-pitch pitcher and that's what's killing him? Is he getting ahead in the counts and not locating correctly? You know, is he getting too much of the plate when he should be throwing pitches away, kind of? It definitely is frustrating, because when you look at Pineda on paper, you're just like, this guy's awesome. If you took the name away and we just showed the stats, he would be ranked so much higher.
Yeah, he should do better. Absolutely should do better. But, hey, he's not. I guess we'll transition to the Yankees here a little bit. Luis Severino, another guy, has the stuff, can't put it together yet. Some people believe he's really a bullpen arm. Some people believe you let him fail as a starter again. You going anywhere near him?
Not right now, no. The only way I'd take Severino is like in a draft champions format where you're doing like 50 rounds. But, I mean, he's a guy, as I mentioned before, he's a watch list guy for me that could become, I think there is talent there. He hasn't figured it out. I'm not giving up on him. I think the Yankees should give him every opportunity to be a starter. But the guy on the Yankees that I really like is Tanaka. I think in my mind, Tanaka is a top 20 pitcher. No questions asked. Tanaka won't get you as many strikeouts as he used to get you, but over, I believe it's the last three seasons, he has the sixth best whip. So, I mean, whip is a category that
it's a category we have to worry about.
You don't want to let that one get out of hand.
Tanaka's going to be intriguing to see what the Yankees do with the opt-out. I imagine he'll opt out. Surprised if he didn't in this day and age. They all do.
Only reason is maybe the elbow thing. I mean, I don't hold it against him anymore. I don't. I know people still do. And like I said, I can't find an argument not to make him a top 20 pitcher. I mean, I could maybe he should even be higher than that as well. I don't know. But I definitely think he fits in that like 17, 18 range. Greg Bird's a guy that I think is perfect for Yankee Stadium. A guy that I think later on in drafts, you need that corner guy in a 15-team league, say, or that bench spot in, say, a 12-team league if you want. He's a guy like left-handed power, fits the stadium perfect. I've got to saw him a couple of years ago at Arizona Fall League. Him and Aaron Judge, they were both hitting some pretty nice, impressive home runs. So, I mean, it was just injury. Everybody seemed to like him.
Yeah, Bird, and Bird is more just a Yankee Stadium guy. He's got power to the opposite field as well. Don't know if that's going to play well in Yankee Stadium, not with what used to be Death Valley out there. Still 399 feet to left center. But still, yeah, I'm coming around on Bird. I was when we first started talking about him 2-3 weeks ago, I wasn't interested. Now you see him in spring training. He's hitting lights out, looks good, Yankee Stadium. I could see it being a better fit here. You mentioned Judge. What's the verdict?
I'm not sure. I mean, he's got that tower power, but I'm not sure. He's got to hit. If he doesn't hit, there's a guy. The guy I think that's going to get more at bats than people believe is Chris Carter. I think between Matt Holliday being old, Aaron Judge, I hope he hits. I think that'll be fun to watch him play in Yankee Stadium. But a guy that I would take the flyer on late is Chris Carter.
Don't know where Carter fits on the Yankees. He's not going to play the outfield. Girardi will have a heart attack with
the
outfield.
No,
so him and Judge really don't make sense. The Holliday will get hurt. We know that. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of when. And that's really his biggest thing. Assuming Bird doesn't fall on his face, where now Carter plays first base. So Carter needs something to happen. And that's the problem. Either Holliday to get hurt or Bird not to play well. I think he could be there, certainly against some tough left-handers. Mm-hmm. I was actually surprised we didn't hear the Yankees come out pretty much straight out and say that it's a platoon, but I get it. Bird's young. You don't want to make him a platoon player. I think that's the right way to do things.
You know, I think it's more on Aaron Judge. He's got a hit. I think it's
Judge
more
the right, he's an outfielder. Judge is not playing DH, so that doesn't matter for Carter.
Yeah, no, but, I mean, would they put Matt Holliday out there if they had to? I mean,
no.
I think he's going to play every day during the week. No, but I think he can go out there for a few games.
Every now, sure, to give somebody a blow, absolutely. To play day in, no. I think they're going to be very careful with Matt Holliday. I think they know what they signed here. What do you hope for? 130 games, 140, one day off a week, guy. I think that's what he's rooting for here. I'll be watching the Yankees today around 1 o'clock. Let's go spring for training while I get home after the show. Beats the snowstorm we're getting next week. Matt, George, back. Final hour. After this.